Recreation and Parks Commission, Tuesday, February 4th, 2014. We'll do a roll call. Chairperson Bates is absent, and Commissioner Crawley is absent right now. Everyone else is here. So we have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting to order. So we'd like to start with a moment of silence. And next we'll go to announcements and presentations, and I think Joe Woods, the Director of Recs and Parks, has a few. So over to you, Joe.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sedaris. I'd like to take a just quick moment to welcome our newest commissioner, Aaron Oakes, who just newly appointed, I think, last week by City Council. So I appreciate you your interest in our commission and all of our activities and programs, and we're delighted to have you here on our commission, and we look forward to a lot of your input and suggestions and ideas. It's a pretty dynamic group, and I'm sure you'll fit right in. So welcome, Aaron. And also I'd like to throw out two congratulations to a couple of commissioners that have come back after their terms expired and have run again. Commissioner Swain, welcome. And John Bates, who's not here tonight, but we will certainly congratulate him on his re-upping with the commission. I had two neighborhood meetings that I'd like to announce here tonight. Tomorrow evening, which is Wednesday the 5th, staff and members, residents of the assessment districts will be meeting, our quarterly neighborhood meeting. It's been comprised mostly of Cloisters residents, though North Point residents are invited. That meeting will be at the Morro Bay Community Center at 5 p.m. And I have another meeting that's a neighborhood meeting, and that's going to be also at the community center. That's Thursday, February the 6th. And that, again, is at 5 o'clock, and that will be a community meeting for residents around Radcliffe. And they're concerned about the impact of the bike park. So staff are going to go out and meet with those residents and hopefully get some discussion about their concerns and some solutions as well. So thanks for that time. Those are my announcements.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Woods. Now we're going to open it up for a public comment here. Do we have any members of the audience? Come on up. Please come up to the microphone. Make sure the little green light's on. And speak clearly. Your name?
Yes, I'm Marlene Barnett. I am here for 3 months every winter, January, February, March. I have family in Los Osos. I'm from Olympic Valley, California, the ski resort of Squaw Valley, which is a major, major tourist area. We've had pickleball there for a very long time. Al is my good friend from tennis. I want to thank Parks and Recreation for the great drop-in tennis, Tai Chi, and all the other things I've enjoyed when I've been here. I was surprised pickleball was not here yet because it is widespread in the senior community and perhaps the more sedentary senior community. I'm still a tennis person, but I would like to come here next year and make sure that the pickleball is underway. I quiz Al about what he knows about pickleball, and it is an undertaking. Pickleball is very easy to play, takes a very small space. You could have three courts right in this room. In the town of Truckee, California, their gymnasium is given over every morning, Monday through Friday, with four courts full-time being played with seniors. The key thing, I was a little disappointed, I sent word not through Joe, but someone who would get this information to Joe about the video that's available. I would like you all, I know you're committed. Joe has convinced me, Al has convinced me, you're committed. But I would all like you to see that video, to see the most difficult thing.
Some announcements? Okay, are there any commissioners have some other announcements? Public announcement is not closed. There's no other people here. Thank you.
Friday, February the 14th is Valentine's Delight Night at the Community Center. It's put on by the Morro Bay High School Music Department. gives the kids a chance for solo presentations, and there will be hors d'oeuvres and dessert served. It starts at 6. There will be no tickets sold at the door. You can contact the high school for tickets. Also, Sunday night here in the Vets Hall, there's Tunes and Noodles featuring the Ole Mountain Boys, a bluegrass band, and this will also benefit the Morro Bay High School Music Department. And tickets can be bought at the door or from any Lions Club member in Morro Bay.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements tonight? No? All right. Should we move on to unfinished business? We got the slow capra and the review of... we're going to go to D1? B1. Okay, let's move on to B1, which is review of discussion of the work program for the fiscal year of 2014-15. So...
Good evening, and thank you, Vice Chair Sedaris. Good evening, Commission. This item is a review of the work program for fiscal year 2014-2015. As you'll recall, we did bring the work program to you late last year in December for a mid-year review, which is rather unusual. We thought it would be necessary. We had some new commissioners and hadn't seen the work program, and it had just been reintroduced as an active plan and program in our department. We came back to you in January, the starting of this process. The work program itself is an annual review. It recognizes all of the department's services, projects, and programs for the upcoming year. And these are programs and services that are offered to the community and promoted and provide recommendations for staff for the upcoming fiscal year. So as we go along our process and start setting numbers to services, though you have some estimates in the work program, they are more defined in a zero-based budget as we propose that to our city manager and then on to public budget workshops with city council. So this is really the beginning of the process, although it's an ongoing process. So the work program is something that you have an opportunity for input, for recommendations, concerns, any kind of questions, edits, deletes we've been through. As we reviewed this program in January, staff has taken your recommendations. We've added those to this current work program, and we are asking you for your final review tonight. Any last-minute changes, edits, and deletes we would take, and then we would forward this on not in its entirety, but as a process in our budget building. So you've seen the work program. You've seen the drafts. I will bring certain things to your attention that have changed since our last meeting in January, and specifically, they'd be the last two pages. Actually, pages in the work program, let me redefine that. It would be pages 10 and 11. And 12. And specifically, we added the division of streets where we didn't have them, the maintenance division, in our work program other than in facilities and in parks. We felt it necessary to identify our efforts in streets as far as street maintenance, as well as street trees and tree maintenance. We did not include fleet maintenance. But if you are interested in our fleet maintenance and how we're going about maintaining our city fleet and acquiring replacement vehicles, you certainly can come and meet with me. We'll be having our input on our fleet through the budget process. The streets division, we put down 9 specific levels of service or areas of service that we'll be looking to continue to provide this next fiscal year. That would be 1, install and maintain striping and road markers for lane dividers and stop bars and bike lanes and school and other pedestrian crossings and fire hydrant delineations and so forth. So our guys are out there doing the day-to-day replacements and painting of stripes and so forth. In here, you'll find areas that we work on are event banners, street banners. Engineering payments. So what I had mentioned earlier, like number five, we support the Public Services Engineering Division with field work surrounding all pavement management plan operations to include the project preparation and closure. So a lot of times in this last year, we've noticed that there's large areas of street that are going to be repaired that's outsourced. But prior to that, we are out there doing some of the prep work prior to those major sealing and coating operations. So with that being said, there's a few other things that we have in here. We are maintaining the event signs that as you come into town, as well as we've been removing sand and maintaining the faux wood harbor walk. And that sand removal probably isn't as frequent as a lot of folks would like, but hopefully we can increase our frequency of maintenance and keep that walkway clear of sand. It's definitely an uphill battle, particularly down by the rock, just past the restroom. But you'll see later in this program, we have some solutions for that, and hopefully that support will continue on through the next budget. And I mentioned earlier the dig-outs and pavement replacement, and we do that throughout the year. We added trees, and we do maintain the trees in the downtown business district. There's about 10.8 miles of business district, and we have scheduled to do a certain amount of trees every year, every other year. Typically, the trees will be hit every 3 to 4 years. So some are small, some are larger trees, and it's going to depend on the year and the growth and the type of trimming that we might need to be doing. We do trim trees throughout the year and remove them if they're hazardous to life or property. Generally, those trees, if they're going to be removed, are noticed. And we work hand-in-hand, again, with Public Services and the Urban Forest Management Plan. That's Damaris Hansen that runs that. And we coordinate maintenance of trees through her. So if it's going to be removed, she would notice it, and then she would give us the green light, and we would bring in the contractor, or we would handle it ourselves on the tree removal. And the finish up that is to come back and plant a new tree or two more trees. So we want to make sure that we say, hey, when we're cutting down a tree, we're certainly putting in more trees. Because we certainly are stewards of the trees, and we appreciate every benefit we get from trees, whether they're small or large. And we're doing some sidewalk work. We're looking at some of the tree wells and trying to enlarge the tree wells. So we're trying to balance how much resources we can put in, whether it's going to be just the demo and then bring in a contractor for the flat work, or we do it all. But it seems like it's been most efficient when we come in and do the demo, the dig out, the cleanup, and then we've got an outsider come in, an outside contractor. Usually there's local. There are three of them that are local that we use, and it's competitive bidding, and they'll come in and do the flat work at one, two, three different locations. It allows us to free up our staff and our resources because the flat work takes a little bit more manpower for a dedicated period of time. And going into page 11, you'll see these are the capital projects that we've listed. There are some adjustments to a few of these, and that'd be if you've looked at them and you have some questions, I'd be happy to address those. One that comes to mind, and you should probably weigh in on when it's time, is what we're going through is water conservation. And there's going to be some issues that we're facing immediately, as in if not yesterday, today, about how much water we're using and where we're using it and when we're using it. And we really are in a position to do major cutbacks, not only just to adhere to the restrictions that are placed on us because of the drought, but more importantly, to address the areas that really would benefit long afterwards. And we're talking about turf elimination is one of the programs that we've talked about here. Example would be the turf that's in front of the vet's hall as we walked in. Really is unfunctional turf. as opposed to the turf that you see out at Lila Kaiser or Del Mar or even at City Park, where it is open turf, but it's very functional turf because of the type of park it is. Turf that's down at Anchor Memorial Park, maybe not as functional as, say, Kaiser. Turf that is surrounding, there's some smaller areas around Centennial, and there's also some smaller areas around the... staff would like to revisit E and say that we would be water responsible and remove selected sinks, or sinks at selected public restrooms. Maybe it's not in our best interest to remove all the sinks, but possibly some of them. We definitely want to have public safety in mind, and putting in a hand sanitizing unit is certainly something that we would want to replace the water unit, which is the sink, with. So if you want to weigh in on that when we get into discussion, it would be something that I would be very interested in hearing. Know that we have public restrooms. Not all of them have sinks. Some do. Like the Harbor restroom and Tidings restroom are both shower facilities, and it may be something that we want to consider keeping those sinks there, as opposed to the sinks at Centennial. There are outside sinks. There's a hand dryer. We would remove the sink, the hand dryer, and then replace it with a hand sanitizing unit that's commercial grade, that's possibly behind the block, that could be activated by the public out in front, and they can sanitize and then go about their business. So it may or may not be applicable at all locations, and it may or may not be desirable through discussion. But it's certainly something that we would want to address, particularly now that we're into this drought, and even though we do have some immediate rain, it is not something that's going to be taking us off the drought list. And our concerns with water are always there, and that's why our longer-term solutions with turf elimination, and this would be a longer solution with sink elimination, but not to get away from the hand sanitizers and giving the public an opportunity to sanitize and keep clean. And then the last section here is streets, and this is capital projects that we're looking for. This would be a capital expenditure, and we would be looking to pick up a skid steer type loader. If you're unfamiliar with the skid steer, I would say, have you ever seen a little bobcat? Little guy get in the cage, and you can run that little bobcat around. This is like a little bobcat, but actually the generic term is skid steer, and it has tracks on the side. We rented one for about a month. I think it was late last summer, and we tested it out. We got incredible use out of this unit. We were able to track from our yard at the Tascadero Road down the beach to the Harbor Walk, and right on the Harbor Walk, and we're able to scoop the sand off and put a broom on the front and sweep it. And it was one guy. He mobilized it. If we had to go other areas, that person, our maintenance guy, would put that skid steer on a trailer, hook it up to a truck, which you don't need an operator's license to do, and run it out to a site. So mobilization has drastically been reduced. We're able to put one guy on. He could put a grinder on the front and do some asphalt grinding. He could put an auger on the front, and he could, as we demo the holes for the street trees, and we prep it all, we can come back in, auger the hole for the tree, and plant the new trees. It's a very efficient tool for us as we have a reduced number of personnel at any one time. This machine would allow us to do multiple tasks in an efficient way and really best utilize our resources to address whatever we have to do. So if it's sweeping a bike pass or the Harbor Walk, we put a broom on the front of it, and we run those once a week, once every 2 weeks, and we're much better off than we would be in today's maintenance standards, which is not getting done as frequently or at all. As far as an overall comprehensive sweeping of bike paths in Harbor Walk, there are some done, but it's not a complete comprehensive approach. So this would allow us that diverse work. We'd be able to do quite a few different things with the different attachments. And we've priced this unit at $55,000. We feel it is well worth the money, and we're going to continue to ask and solicit for this piece of equipment until we get it. We've asked actually two or three times we've asked now since at Measure Q request. We haven't been a high priority, and I understand that, but we're going to continue to ask, and with your support, hopefully with some leverage, we'll be able to purchase one of these pieces of equipment with some attachments and really utilize the resources we have and go out there and address some of our infrastructure that so badly needs it. That concludes my presentation on the work program for fiscal year 14-15. I'm ready to answer any questions you might have at this time. It's really not a capital project that you're looking for, but support of the Cerro Bay Community Pool Foundation in their efforts in getting a pool.
Well, what do you think? Because isn't it similar to the bike park? That's a capital project. And that's listed as number 10 on page 9.
Yes, it would fit there. I understand. Page 9, number 10. Mr. Crowley, that would be, you wanted to add it to page 9, the Parks Division?
Mm-hmm.
And saying something similar to number 10, instead of the bike club, it would be the Cerro Bay Community
Pool? No, not instead. No. I'm saying add it. Be number 12.
Right. That's what I said earlier. Number 12, but it would be the same type of wording, working with the group for a pool.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry we did not get that on there. We certainly will add it in. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I have a few questions relative to the discussion about basins in the restrooms. And the one that I'm very familiar with because it's located at Monty Young Park. There is a basin there, and it's always filthy. That bathroom was always filthy. It's high transient. People stop in there all the time to use the facilities. And, you know, we have that apartment complex across the street. You have a lot of kids playing over there all the time. I think it would be best to remove the water completely. Just have a hand sanitizer. It would probably make the bathrooms more presentable. It's only food for thought.
Good, thank you.
Well, you know, I understand that. That makes a lot of sense, and I want to support water conservation. But as a mom and using those parks as a mom, you do need that water sometimes to clean up messes. So I'd hate to see it completely do away. Maybe we could leave one sink, a compromise, so that mom still can use that water if they need to.
Yeah, perhaps we should think about having some signs asking people to please conserve water at places where there is water available. We do have to get ahead of that curve. This drought's going to be a major thing. It's only going to get worse and worse. So anything we can do to prepare for it is certainly going to do us in good stead later.
Something else I might want to add to that regarding parks, and I'm not so sure if this is the opportune time to discuss it, but at the Monty Young Park, dogs are running loose all the time. We need to do some signage reflecting that no dogs are allowed on the tennis court. We're finding feces all over the place. It's becoming really, really awkward for a lot of the players that have almost slipped and fallen. And I think we really need to stress that dogs are not allowed. Plus, there is signage there right now, but the signage board is very badly faded. You can hardly make out what they say. For example, it says no skateboarding. Kids skateboard there all the time. Because I only live three doors from there, I drive by it, and they won't listen to you. I tell them to stop skating, they'll just either flip me off and just continue on. But that really needs to be addressed.
I've made some notes of that, and we certainly would address that sign. We've had other signages that at Del Mar tennis courts. I've had the same problem with some dogs going out there. I actually went out there and ran into two people who had their dogs out there in the tennis court, and they felt like that was the place for them because the dog off-leash dog park right next door wasn't suitable for their small dogs. And so I tried to convince them that the small dog area is suitable and the tennis courts were not suitable for them, and they understood that and actually made their way towards the dog park. So it is an issue at several different parks, and dogs off the leash and owners not picking up after them is a continuous problem. We have put signs out. We will continue to try the signage, but a lot of the success comes from community pressure. So we appreciate your efforts in saying something to those individuals, and if more folks in our community would be, I wouldn't say responsible, but aware of the situation and allow themselves to go out there and just inform people of the rules. Staff, we do this.
What kind of a hand sanitizer system are you looking at?
Now, that's a good question because we've been struggling with this when we're trying to find something on the market that's going to be heavy duty enough to withstand public use and hopefully be somewhat vandal resistant. We haven't successfully found one. I'm sure it's out there. I've seen them in banks. I've seen them in grocery stores where they automatically put your hand right there. It gives you a little bit of a foam gel, and then you can sanitize up. So there's a couple of different ones out there as far as the gel or the foam, but hopefully we'll land something. We would not implement any reduction of a sink unless we had a proven hand sanitizer. And most likely, once we get one to demo, we'll put it out there and see how it holds up before we make any kind of mass move. And I certainly would bring caution to our movement in moving all the sinks and thinking that hand sanitizers are the only solution. I understand that different park users have different park needs, and just because we're in a water restriction doesn't mean we don't need some water. So I think that we'll be very selective in what sinks we remove, and I appreciate your insight on that.
In a previous life, I taught hand washing in hospitals, and with soap and water and 15 seconds of friction, you're going to eliminate about 94% of the transient bacteria on your hands. With a hand sanitizer, you can take that all the way down to about 99% and just a 2 or 3 second. But I would be concerned that if we're going to eliminate the sinks, we have a system that continually provides the sanitizer and doesn't run out, because if you run out, then there's nothing as a backup.
That's something. It's certainly a concern of ours as well, and it would have to be a larger reservoir that possibly is behind a block wall in the plumbing chase with an extension of the applicator for the public to use is what I'm kind of envisioning. So we haven't found that unit yet, but I would agree with you. It'd have to be a supplement that would last at least 2 full days, if not 3, though we would be maintaining those restrooms daily and 2 and 3 times in the summer months. So it would be, rest assured, that we'd be checking those reservoirs. But in the winter months, and just for safety, we'd like to make sure that we had a proper amount. So I would make note of those concerns. Thank you.
I have a question on the watering, excuse me, the timers, you know, when you put your hand there, you get the motion sensors. Is there a timing factor on there? Because I've been in some where as soon as you take your hands away, it turns off right away, and I've been others where you take it away and it runs for a while. So there's a way we could maybe turn it down. As soon as you move your hands, it'll shut it off right away?
Yes, there is. The short answer is yes. All of them are different. We can adjust them down.
Right. So you, okay, same good. With all the toilets in general.
Uh, We've gone through all of our water closets and urinals. We've reduced them all to the lowest amount of water we could use to activate the valve. So you're like a 0.5, might even be less than that. I think we had a report on that. So we've reduced all of our water fixtures in public restrooms have been retrofitted with water saving control. I don't know, they're little devices, but it's a little diaphragm that goes in and monitors that water. So they're choked down as low as they can go. We've looked at the waterless urinals. We found that there are some problems long term with those, and so there's a mixed bag as far as, you know, do we put those in or not. Some organizations have them, it works out well. Others have had problems that have gone back to water. So right now we're using what we have, and we're using less water as possible. And right now we're enjoying some success. You've seen the water reduction that we brought to you in the last meeting. We're at 25 to 30% reduction in the water before the drought was declared. So with water conservation on top of our water saving measures, I think we've got a recipe for success.
There's several public restrooms down on the Embarcadero. Those are maintained by the people that, where they are physically housed at those hotels and such?
That's partly correct. All the public restrooms along the Embarcadero are city, we maintain.
Right.
There's only a few that we don't.
Okay.
That are open to the public. One is at Marina Square.
Right.
That one's a public, and the other one's around close by the Hofbräu.
Right.
Those are two
correct.
Public restrooms that by their lease agreement, they have to maintain those public restrooms.
Right.
The one we've added has been the public restroom at 1196 Front Street to the
okay.
public. So that's right on the corner of Main Street and Morro Bay Boulevard.
Okay. Because believe it or not, I think it really factors into people when they think of Morro Bay that it's clean, and clean restrooms is part of it, and nice restrooms. It's just, you know, when you're going somewhere, you don't want to have to worry about that sort of thing.
And we are doing some renovations to Centennial Restroom to ensure that is structurally sound
okay.
and obviously clean.
Thank you. Any other comments?
The turf removal at Cloisters, what helped me a little bit in picturing that?
Certainly. Thank you, Commissioner Coxwell. The main turf out at the Cloisters is not the turf we're talking about. There is, if you go up to the park, there is a restroom that's right in the middle, and off to the left is the play structure, and then out beyond is the large turf area. There are smaller turf areas along the play structure and the play area, and they are probably about as big as this desk. Small little buffers. Those are the ones we'd like to take out and replace. And it just makes sense because of the high maintenance that's involved in small turf, because you've got to water it, you've got to edge it, you've got to cut it, and you've got to collect the cuttings and dispose of them. So it's a little bit more intense than just removing it and putting in some various plants.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Woods.
Well, I have one more question, though. You mentioned the skipjack, was it?
Skid steer.
Skid steer. The $55,000, does that include all the extra brushes and all the other items you want to bring with it, or is that just for the skid jack?
Yes. It does include the accessories.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that it? Should we move on to...
I'd be looking... This is a public hearing, so if you'd like to open it up to the public.
Oh, okay. I'd like to open this up to the public.
If there's no one...
Any public comments on any of this? So no one want to come up?
Close.
Then we're going to close public comment period, move on to the next thing on our agenda.
Since it's a public hearing, I would be looking for a motion on this item.
A motion to accept this then for... file
with, and we did have some
with
additions,
some addendums. Yes,
I'll make a motion to accept this file with the changes or the adjustments to it, think there was one, or was there more than one? Two adjustments.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's carried.
And just for reference, those amendments were on the water sink, on the sink removal. That would not be all the sinks in public restrooms. That would be sinks in selected restrooms.
Correct.
And the other would be the addition of number 12 on page 9, which would be similar to number 10, but substituting the Estera Bay Pool Foundation and continuing on to provide an aquatic center as opposed to a bike park.
Correct.
Would that be correct?
I believe so, yes.
Great. Thank you.
So it's time to move on to C, the workshop, or?
Certainly.
All right, let's check this out. We have an annual commissioner's workshop. Joe, would you like to tell the folks in TV land all about it?
You bet. This is, thank you, Chair Sedaris and Commission. Good evening again. This item is an annual program that is put on by the San Luis Obispo County Administrators Parks and Recreation Parks and Recreation Agencies. It's called SLOCAPRA in short. I have been a member probably for 5 or 6 years, and it is a dynamic group. We meet every other month, and we put on a workshop for you commissioners to help you with your job as commissioners and kind of give you some insight on what commissioning is all about and advocacy and so forth. We have for years had this annual conference workshop up at Hearst Castle. We have since decided to change our venue and we went to Atascadero Lake Pavilion last year, and we got quite a bit more attendance. So we felt like something a little easier to get to as opposed to Hearst Castle might be a good venue for us. So this year, we actually got away from Atascadero and moved it over to Morro Bay. So this year's Commissioner's Workshop will be at the Morro Bay Natural History Museum. It is on March the 22nd, which is a Saturday, and it starts at 8:30, and it will be ending somewhere around 2:30. This is an informational report, and no action is needed, but I would California Heal Cities campaign. You'll be interesting. This will be a very interesting topic on cities. And there's different events that go along with. I don't know all the details of her workshop, but we will have exercises for you to participate in and roundtable events and so forth. We have taken care of your registration, the seven of you. So I would be looking for RSVP with you. If you needed to bring a guest, let me know. Like I said, this is right in our backyard in Morro Bay, so we're looking forward to a large attendance from our Recreation Parks Commission. We will also be inviting other commissioners as well if they want to participate in this program. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, I'm just sorry to say this looks like great. This looks amazing, but I already have a commitment that I signed up for last year, and I'm going to be a vendor at that symposium, so I can't make it. I'm sorry.
Okay. But thanks for letting us know ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a great event. You know, we learn to work with all the different agencies in the state and in the county when we go to these things, because what you have to realize is that we do work with a lot of the other agencies in the state to get things done, to do things by the rules. And obviously, anything to do with keeping the bay clean and beautiful is very important to us, because the bay is also one of our – it's not an official park, but, boy, it's sure a darn nice attraction. If you saw the sunset tonight, you know, we're living in one of the most beautiful places in the world, and we strive here at this commission to maintain that beauty the best we can through our efforts to keep it natural, to keep it clean, to keep it unpolluted. So anything you can do out there, the citizens, to help is certainly appreciated. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Should we move on to the spaghetti dinner, the Dixon spaghetti dinner? Is that next?
Certainly.
Okay, what do we know about that? It's been an annual event for quite a while and a lot of fun. Joe, you want to fill us in on the details?
Certainly. Thank you. This is the Dixon Halfley spaghetti dinner fundraiser is something that's been going on for now 25 years.
Yeah.
And it is a fundraiser for the Community Foundation in supporting youth scholarships throughout the year. This spaghetti dinner is going to be March the 14th. It's Friday, March the 14th at 4:30 at the Morro Bay Community Center. Now, this is the event. The fundraising is something that the foundation does two or three times a year. They have an event that's coming up, and I should have plugged this earlier. I'm sorry, but I'll plug it now. It is Love Letters. It is a two-person play, and it'll be put on here at the Vets Hall February the 15th. That is a Saturday evening, right before
was Tunes,
it? And Tunes and Noodles. Thanks. So Tunes and Noodles will be on the 16th Sunday, but the day before. You can call our office and get some more details on tickets to Love Letters. It's a two-person play. It is an incredible play that's been going on for years. I don't know all the details, and I apologize for not bringing you a flyer on that. But that's one of their fundraisers. The other one is Spaghetti Dinner. You all know the Morro Bay Sings concert series that we put on in November, and they have other campaigns throughout the year. But as far as programs, this is a big one for us. A lot of community comes out and supports the foundation. The Senior Citizens Incorporated put a lot of volunteer effort into this. Recreation Parks Commissioners come out and volunteer their efforts in our success. And we're looking for your help the day before or the day of the event. We do a lot of prep work on Thursday, late afternoon, early evening kind of thing. And then the day of, which is Friday, and we'll be looking for either work just prior to the event, during the event, or just after the event, or all the above, if you're so inclined. So I would ask that the commissioners review their schedules, work this event in. If you can, this is a really good one to show up. Give us your volunteerism and help this good cause. We're looking, and I've listed some things here that you may be interested in volunteering for. And I certainly would ask you to contact myself or Celeste English in our office and let her know your availability and what you might be interested in volunteering either day of or the day before or both. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, this is a Dixon Spaghetti Dinner fundraiser for the Community Foundation. It's put on by our department, the foundation, the commission, and also the Senior Citizens Incorporated. So we've got, but certainly contact me either after the meeting or in the office when you're available, and we can arrange to get you on the schedule. And I'm happy to answer any questions or concerns you might have, or sign you up right now if you'd like.
No, we see you invite all the businesses and reclusive millionaires that want to donate. Last year they had some fabulous prizes, including some beach cruisers I saw. So it is a fun way to meet people in the community. It is a wonderful dance. It's good spaghetti, and you could win a beach cruiser. So you can't have more fun than that, really. What a wonderful community. All right. Can we move on to D, which I think is our park tour, annual park tour. Now, this year, I believe we've talked to some of the people that help, the gardening people and such, and we'd love to have them, I think, come with us. And we'd love to have some community meet us at these parks. They could meet their park commissioners. I'm sure we'd gladly accept a small amount of baked goods or hot tea or something or coffee. But it'd be good for the community to come out, too, and give us your opinion of your local park. So we'll figure out which parks we're going to and when, and we'll make that available to the public so we can all have a nice day and check out the parks and get to know the community, because we're here to serve the community, so we need to get to know you. So, Joe, what have you got to say about that?
Well, I've got to say that we have changed our process a little bit this year and throughout the years, and to better address your needs and to be really efficient in what we're doing. It was recommended at our last meeting that we agendize this today and look at the area. If you see on page 2 of your staff report, this is your annual parks tour. It's typically taking your regular meeting spot. And since we've been reduced in the last couple of years to only 6 regular meetings a year, we've had to kind of change our scheduling a little bit. Tonight is one of those changes, having a special meeting in the first week in February to set our chair and to set our vice chair and our other appointed committee members, and now to set up our parks tour. And we're hoping that our parks tour is not on a regular meeting, so we're looking for a special meeting. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for a modified, not all of our parks, and not the north or the south end parks, but more of what type of parks. So we've grouped them, as you had requested, A, B, and C, and we'd be looking for you to select one park out of each category, and the first being City Park, Bayshore Bluffs, Monte Young, Morro Cove, or Shasta Street Pocket Park. And those are smaller parks with specific use. So you can take a minute to think about that. B is the next section, and these are larger. And this would be Tidelands Park, Mariner Park, Centennial Park, Anchor Park, Coleman, and The Rock. Obviously, those are all along the Embarcadero. And then up on the north end of town, we've got Del Mar, North Point, The Cloisters, or Lila Kaiser. So they are grouped in some geographic areas, but we're looking to go to one in each area this year, and then next year we would change it up and select different parks. So if there's one park in particular that you're interested in group A, or B or in C, we'd want to have you have that discussion and let us know which ones of A, B, and C that you'd like. And also we've allowed you to select the day. I've included schedules for all of our parks for June and August because, you know, in July we have our regular meeting. And unless you guys are really pushing for July, it's a pretty busy month to put a Saturday in there for commissioners, but we're certainly amenable to something if you were looking to do July. So if you wanted to take a minute or open your discussion up for which parks, A, B, and C, and then a Saturday that we could, or even a weekday. This is up to you. We'd like to have a date that's most convenient so we can get the most commissioners there.
I don't know, we'd like to go during the day on a Saturday to see people actually using the park. Probably be good because we've been going at night before. Usually there's no one there but us. And since we have this list, we can each circle a park we want to see and turn them into Joe. Be like a secret ballot.
I hate secrets. Let's flush it
all
out.
All right, let's flush it out
good,
now.
Please.
Okay.
Let's vote.
Let's flush it out.
Okay. Starting with Mr. Crowley.
So I noticed in Group C, all those parks have play structures, and so I'd hate to just limit it to just one because that eliminates our reviewing of those play structures.
Well, I believe it's one from A, one from B, and one from C.
Right. So in C, all those parks except for North Point have play structures.
Okay.
So that's my point. So if we have to only pick one, then
being limited to just three parks.
Oh.
And if you were going to expand this, you certainly could.
Sure.
We could go to all the parks if you'd like. In the past, we've started later in the afternoon, and it's taken us 2 to 3 hours, and we get into darkness. And that's why we do it in the summer, because we've got longer hours of daylight. Now that we're going on a Saturday, we certainly could take on the entire system and go through every park. But the idea here was to concentrate on one or two or three different parks that we could really get down and roll up our sleeves and look in detail, as opposed to just skipping the stone across each one of these and coming up with just a broad knowledge as opposed to an in-depth, let's drill down, what improvements are we really going to be making, how is this reflected in our work program, how are we budgeting those, what are we really looking for. So I don't want to discourage you in saying we can only do three, but I also would caution you that the more parks that we tour, the more time it will take, which is okay. I mean, I've got nothing but time, but it is your time I'm concerned with in the amount of resources we can put in to help, you know, educate you at those sites. But if you'd want to do all the parks.
Well, I didn't say all the parks. I just said the most frequented, the most used parks.
Okay.
Right? So
Okay. I was just going off the categories that we talked about last time, but you certainly can mix that up, and I would leave it up.
Well, should we start by seeing how much time each commissioner wants to do this? I mean, I could do it all day. I could go to every park. I wouldn't mind. You know.
I'm not talking about all the parks. I'm talking about three.
Well, I'm just saying how many. You know, if there's a minimum call on the bus and it's a 4-hour call, you know, we could use it for 4 hours. I mean, there's a lot of ways to cut the pie. You know. Like I said, I'm willing to spend all day looking at parks. I like the parks. The other commissioners, you guys have any time limits, or you want to make a day of it, as they say?
We don't need to make a day of it. I don't think we need to make a day of it. What do you guys think?
Half day? Okay. So think maybe start at noon or something? Give us a nice half day to...
What do you think, Tom? Speak up. Everybody speak up.
I underline Monte Young, Coleman, Del Mar, and Cloisters.
Okay.
Those would be those would be places that I would like to visit.
Okay. Anybody else have specific parks they'd like to see?
Sure. I want to look at Bayshore and for A. For B, I'm looking at... Tidelands and Centennial, and for C, I'm looking at Del Mar and Cloisters. I know some residents have come to me and they were talking about certain things that they'd like to see improved at the Cloisters Park, so I think that should be something that we look at for C.
Okay. More?
Well, I'm kind of in favor of checking out Bayshore, Tidelands, and Del Mar, because I think Del Mar is a, you could probably spend an hour there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big park, and we could go around and check everything out. And then, you know, I'm willing, if time's left over, go somewhere else. But those are my three I'd like to definitely cover.
Okay. Commissioner Romero?
I'd like to go with suggest Bayshore, Tidelands, and Del Mar.
Okay. So what I'm looking at then is Monte Young, Tidelands, Del Mar, the Cloisters, and Bayshore. Five parks. And one more?
Well, Lila Kaiser, too, because that's used a
yes.
lot.
Okay.
So.
Right. We can, mm-hmm. That works. Lila Kaiser.
So do I understand that we're going to go a little beyond three? And we're going to be adding, and the first column, A, would be looking at Bayshore and Monte Young?
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. They're fairly close, and we'll be able to get to those two fairly easy. B is Tidelands, and then as well as Centennial and Coleman. So we'll take a quick jaunt
sure,
down to Embarcadero.
Yeah.
And then as we go north, we would want to go to Lila Kaiser, then the Cloisters, and then finish at Del Mar. Del Mar is going to be probably your most active. Mm-hmm. There are some things to be talking about at the Cloisters, and we'll be able to go through that. It is spread out. We probably won't get out of the vehicle. We may. But at Del Mar, I certainly would want to get out of the vehicle and get into the park and get you engaged in that environment so we can talk about the park use and the park improvements that we're planning or need to plan.
That's where we're yep. thinking of putting pickleball, too, isn't it? So it'll be
yes,
good to
pickleball.
Walk around and check that out.
Check that out.
It's certainly the option that we had selected now through our parks tour. It may change, and we may add something somewhere else, but I think that initially we agreed that a good start would be at the roller hockey rink with signed two courts and so forth. So it looks like we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We could have cake.
Cake and do a
yeah.
Cake.
Yeah.
I'll barbecue if you bring me cake.
Okay.
You might want to, I would bring your attention to those Saturdays that are in June. And there is, like, the 14th. That's our department's Coast Summertime Slam softball tournament. So if you want to see some live softball action, that it's incredible. We usually get about 30-plus teams in our tournament. It's the biggest one in the county. So it might be a good time to be cruising.
Sure.
Or
yeah,
not, and get something a little bit different and not so active in the park. But it'll be very busy at Lila Kaiser. And typically throughout our town on that day. Little League's going to be out there on the 21st, and then you have ASA softball tournament out there on the 28th. So you're going to have activity every Saturday at Lila Kaiser throughout June. Actually, from May through September, and then October is Kaiser. So just know that we'll be running into those. If it's something that you really wanted to see, like the Summertime Slam, then the 14th would be ideal for us.
Yeah, well, it works for me. How about the other commissioners? 14th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine with 14 as well.
Mm-hmm. What time would we like to start this adventure on? It's a three-hour tour, right, at Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, are we looking? I think we talked about maybe a morning, a 9 to 12. No, we weren't talking about that?
It's like cutting into your sleeping in time.
Sure, 9 to...
Oh, if you want to go after, it's going to be before or after lunch would probably be ideal for us. So if you guys want to, you know, have lunch on your own and come in afterwards, there it is. If you want to have breakfast and work all morning and then...
Yeah, start of the morning. It'd be nice and pretty and cooler. It might get hot. Yeah. Okay. Wouldn't want anybody to get sunburned. Yeah, community center probably be the 9 a.m. on the 14th of June. So, and we're taking the trolley, or?
We'll be arranging.
We'll try to have some room in case the gorilla gardeners and the other gardening people would like to come with us.
We certainly are going to invite any of our adopted park groups.
Oh, the adopted park groups, we'd love to see them at their adopted park. And again, they can also bring baked goods.
And that's why I think the Saturday is good, because we do have a lot of our adopter park groups that have work days on Saturdays. Not every Saturday, but there are groups. The Morro Bay and Bloom group is out there every Saturday, and they're at Centennial. And I just want to put a kick into the Morro Bay Beautiful group, who have just agreed to adopt a park, Anchor Memorial Park, which is incredible. So we're getting some really great involvement from community groups to adopt our parks, and we only have a few more parks that are actually open for adoption. So if there's a group out there who wants to get into the park adoption, give our office a call. So the 14th at 9:00, we'll be meeting at the Morro Bay Community Center. We will not have a meeting that day. We'll just have some coffee and some. A little bit of pick-me-ups in the morning, and then head out to our parks tour. Feel free to touch base with me before this happens if you have questions or concerns or interests that we want to make sure we cover, and we will address those during the tour. Thank you.
Do we need any interested parties to call to make sure so that we don't have one and all of a sudden show up for we need three vans so that it work, or...
If we have a problem of not enough vehicles, I'll be pretty happy about that. We've had the trolley before, and we'll be arranging that. And it seems like everybody fits on that, and we've had plenty of room. So, but I appreciate your concern, Bob.
We've run out of videotape. Okay. That's that.
Includes that.
We've settled on
D2?
That. We're going to go to D2 now, which is the election of a chair and a vice chair for 2014. What do you know?
Staff has prepared you a report, and this is the procedures that we have to go through, the steps for electing your new chair and your vice chair. And I will turn it back to you, Vice Chair Sedaris, for that procedure.
Okay. So, Vice Chair, we'd like to open the floor to nominations for a new officer of chair. So, anybody?
I would like to nominate Drew for chair for next year.
I second that nomination.
I don't hear any thirds, but I'll get one. I'll go to the library. All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you for your confidence.
Do we? I'm sorry, I was distracted a bit. You closed for chair?
Yes.
And so you have one nomination for chair. It's Tom Coxwell?
Yes.
And he's your new vice chair. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And then the last thing I think of this evening, looks like we have some elections for some representatives, one to the Morro Bay Senior Citizens, Inc., and one to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. So I'd like to open the floor to nominations, at which time any commissioner will make a nomination for the representative to the Morro Bay Senior Citizens, Inc. I need a nomination for someone to work with those folks. Say it out loud.
I nominate Al.
Just a second.
Any other nominations?
Any other nominations? No. Then I make a motion to close the nominations.
Second. Second on the motion.
I'll second that.
Second that motion, and it's carried. Thank you, Al. You're welcome. Okay, I'd like to open the floor for nominations. Any commissioner may make a nomination for the representative of the Morro Bay Community Foundation.
May I interject before you make nominations? Sir. Before you make the nominations, I'd let you know that currently the group is meeting on the third Friday at 8:30, and they're looking to change their time and their day. And I believe they're looking for, if memory strikes me, a Wednesday at 5. So a little bit more available as opposed to Friday at 8:30 in the morning. So know that their times are changing. And the new rep from our commission will be able to have some input at that meeting, which their next meeting is this Friday. So I just wanted to put that out there in case you were wondering when they met. So please go back to your nominations.
Okay. Nominations?
I'd like to nominate Karen Crawley. Always good.
Too many meetings? Okay. Do we have another nomination, please?
I'd nominate Bob Swain.
And I second that nomination.
John Bates? We could extend John Bates.
We can't do
that. Oh, yes, we can. Yeah, anybody want to nominate? I'll nominate John Bates. Any seconds on that?
I'll second that motion.
Yeah, I think John Bates won that one. No? We have to close the...
You have a list of nominations. You close nominations, and then we can vote on those nominated.
Okay,
and
we have...
currently I have three.
Okay. We'll have to close the nominations and take a vote on who we want, right? Okay.
Close.
Okay. How many for John Bates? Yay?
Three.
Okay. How many for Karen?
No,
none.
It's Bob Swain.
Oh, Bob Swain. How many for Bob Swain?
Aye.
No, I think John Bates wins. There's two for him.
I need a little more clarification on the vote. So if we could go either by hand up high or by voice, it would help me out.
Okay. For John Bates, who'd like to nominate? Who'd like to vote for John? Okay, that's three.
Three.
Who'd like to vote for Bob?
Bob Swain.
Bob Swain. He gets four.
And the last is Karen.
Is Karen. She rejected his nomination. Okay. Looks like Bob's a big winner.
Good. And Bob, if you'd like to touch base with me or even I'll give you the contact information for the president and get you involved in that group as soon as we can.
So I believe we've covered all the business tonight.
Certainly does.
Correct? Then I move that we close this meeting, call it adjourned.
I am looking for any future agenda items before you adjourn,
future
if
agenda
we could,
items.
Please.
Okay.
I have a future agenda item. The Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation would like to request to have a public hearing to present to you all about the location that the school districts and the city of Morro Bay is looking at. And so I'd like to put that on the agenda, if I can get your approval on that.
Getting a majority.
I'll make a motion.
You need two others to agree, and then we'll put it on future agenda.
Okay. All in favor?
I'm sorry. For.
except for they have to be on a leash.
Right.
Yeah, we have an off-leash dog park, but all of our other parks allow dogs on a leash. We don't allow dogs on the athletic playing fields. And we have signed Lila Kaiser, no dogs, and we appreciate the public's help on not bringing the dogs to Lila Kaiser baseball and softball diamonds. But other than that, there's grass and turf areas that we don't prohibit dogs from.
Right, but it is against the law not to clean up after your dog, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
If drops a load on the, when you clean it up, it's still going to be some there. And if you bring a little kid down and they're playing around and rolling around, you know, that's some concerns that people brought to my attention. So
if we have
is it
two
possible
other,
to designate a kid-only area or something like that?
If there's two others that would like to have this item forwarded, we'll put it on a future agenda.
Have like a fenced-off play area where no dogs are allowed?
Yes.
Then, okay. Would somebody like to make a motion that we put that on the next agenda then? Could make a motion.
Yeah, we just need two other to agree.
Yeah, I'll agree on that idea. That's one.
All agree.
There we go. Motion carried. Thank you. So
where are you going?
Is that it? We're done?
If you don't have any other future agenda
any
items?
Any other future agenda items? Ladies and gentlemen? Yes, sir?
Since we do have our council over here, I wonder if you could provide any update on what's happening with the city as far as any new personnel?
New personnel.
Sure. I can tell you what I know.
Please.
Start the clock. She's got 3 minutes.
Yeah. We've recently hired a gentleman named Ed Krines, who has been an interim city manager in several different places. He's a retired city manager from Southern California, and he has started this week. I haven't actually officially had my first meeting with him, but I think Mr. Woods may have. Next week, we will be interviewing attorney firms. I think there are three or four of them who have requested to be considered as the firm for the city. So rather than having an in-house attorney, we will have a firm that will represent us. Anything else? So that's where we are on that. Thank you for asking, Mr. Romero. Anytime.
Okay, with that, I believe it concludes today's Parks and Recreation meeting. Thank you for joining us, and have a nice evening. Good night.